This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raider podcast. I'm your host, JT. Great to have you back for the 2015 season as we get you set for the first opponent this year, the Cincinnati Bengals, in O.co Coliseum this Sunday, taking on your Oakland Raiders. Same format as last year. We're going to have someone to represent the opponent, an insider, a player, or a coach, and the same thing on the Raiders side. A little bit different this year. We'll also take your suggestions at Raiders.com. If you have a question, maybe we'll be able to work that in. We're excited to go, and remember, you can download this podcast, tell your friends about it, tell everybody in the Raider Nation by going to Raiders.com or downloading it via iTunes. Well, a lot of fans in the Raider Nation really excited for the start of the season with two home games back-to-back, the first time since 1969, as it's the Bengals and then the Baltimore Ravens. Two teams that went to the playoffs last year, and obviously two of the more physical teams in all of football. For the Raiders, I could have started off this podcast by looking at the numbers from last year and all the stats, but I ripped it up. This is a completely brand new roster, and the Jack Del Rio era begins now. Are you buying into Jack Del Rio? You should be. The man from Hayward, California, his lifetime dream was to be the head coach of the Silver and Black. He put together an outstanding staff after a solid offseason into the preseason. The Raiders are ready to hit the ground running. We'll talk to Andy Furman from Cincinnati, one of the premier Bengals insiders in the country, also my teammate on Fox Sports Radio. He hosts the National Morning Show. And Scott Baer is going to join us talking about the Raiders from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. He's around the team 24/7, so he'll add a lot to what we're talking about today. Additions for the Raiders in the offseason. I thought it was really important for them to nail it in the draft, and I think they got the best player available, period, in Amari Cooper. He comes in out of Alabama as a guy who runs precision routes. Cliff Branch told me he's never seen a rookie work this hard on drills. He's the ultimate professional. And the addition of Michael Crabtree at wide receiver. The key addition on the offensive line, center Rodney Hudson, comes over as a free agent from Kansas City. Very unfortunate that Menelik Watson got injured in the preseason, but the offensive line is as deep as it's been in the last 10 years. And the running back is Latavius Murray. Remember, he had the breakout game last year against Kansas City on the national stage, and he has got to hit the ground running and kick off this season with a big game against the Cincinnati Bengals. On the defensive side, you know it by now, it starts and stops with Khalil Mack, the best young defender in all of football. He is a rare athlete. Reminds me of a young Derek Thomas or Lawrence Taylor. He has all the ability to set this league on fire, and he's going to have to get help up front. The defensive tackles are nasty with Dan Williams and Jelly Ellis. And if you look at what happened, the upgrade at linebacker with Curtis Laughlin and Malcolm Smith should take the Raiders to the next level defensively. Charles Woodson and Nate Allen on the back end, and the Raiders are hoping that DJ Hayden and TJ Carey are up to the task. They have no choice. They got to play big, especially against AJ Green coming up this weekend. Our first guest this season on the official Raider podcast is one of the best in the business. Not only is he a local icon in Cincinnati on the radio, but also my teammate on Fox Sports Radio, host Fox Sports Daybreak in the morning with Mike North, the nationally syndicated sports talk host on Fox Sports Radio. Andy Furman joins us. And Andy, it's got to be great. We're kicking off the new season. It's the official Raiders podcast, and you're going to represent the Bengals. How are you, buddy?
I tell you what, it sounds great. I tell you what, you read it just like I wrote it, and I love every minute of it. But I will tell you this much. I don't want this to be a line in the sand that you against me. We're just going to discuss this. I know you're Mr. Oakland Raider. I know that. I know I'm from Cincinnati. I know the Bengals a little bit. But I don't want this to be any sort of a war between you and me.
We will break bread after this, I promise
you.
Let's get into the Bengals, because the way I look at the Bengals is I think they're one of the toughest, nastiest, and most physical teams in football. And we'll get to Andy Dalton a little bit later on and the problems of winning in the playoffs. But they're a really good regular season team as of late. What are expectations coming into this season?
Well, I tell you what, as always, I think the expectations are big, and I think a lot of people are expecting a lot. Now, look, they didn't make a lot of changes this year. They got basically the same unit as last year, and that's not too bad, really, because over the last 4 years, they've won 40 ball games, although people don't count that as much because when they get to the postseason, they fizz. But this is a good team. This is, as you say, a talented team, and I think there's a lot of talent, at least on the offensive side of the ball. Can they get the job done? That's the question. This is year number 5 for A.J. Green. You mentioned his name. I think it's about time that he takes over as leader of this ball club and goes up a notch and does something with this ball club, because with the talent surrounding him, be it receiver-wise or running back-wise, they got the ability to do some damage in this league.
Well, I think what's interesting about the coach's connection, you know, Hugh Jackson was with the Raiders and did a decent job as the head coach, but Mark Davis, the organization, wanted to move in another direction, and now they have a new era with Jack Del Rio and obviously Ken Norton Jr. and Mike Tice. Rod Woodson is back in the secondary, but this coaching staff in Cincinnati is very intriguing to me because I respect Hugh Jackson as a play caller, and Marvin Lewis is a guy who has been with that organization for a long time. Do you believe he deserves to stay with this organization long-term if he doesn't win a playoff game this year?
Well, it's funny you mention that. This is year number 13 for Marvin Lewis. He's won 100 games, but he's lost 90 games in that time span. But I tell you what he's done. He has changed the culture of this ball club. This club in the 90s was like the Siberia of the NFL. This team was nothing more than a police blotter. There were arrests. There was hoodlums on this ball club. Now, look, they're winning, but, of course, more than that, they got some good individuals. The clowns are gone. It was like an AC team. What I mean by that, ass clowns. That's what they had. They had characters. They had Chad Johnson, who was a good player, but basically he ran the clubhouse. And they had all these guys on this ball club that basically went their own way. So Marvin Lewis has changed that, and he's got his own players in there. As a matter of fact, over the last several years, the last 2 years, they have drafted 17 guys. Those guys are all on this roster in some way or another, which tells me they're building from within. They have a lot of depth. So I think Marvin Lewis, more than that, you work for a guy like Mike Brown, who owns this ball club. He's got a lot of faith in Marvin. And more than that, Mike Brown's a guy who doesn't like to make a lot of changes. I mean, Mike Brown's a guy who likes loyalty maybe to a fault, but that's why Marvin Lewis is here.
Sports Talk host Andy Furman joins us, breaking down the Bengals on the Official Raider podcast. Tell me about Jeremy Hill, coming off 222 attempts, 1,124 yards and 9 touchdowns. Obviously a workhorse guy who can get into the end zone, is good in the red zone. Are they trying to establish the run coming into Oakland, or do they believe they have an advantage? That would be Andy Dalton and A.J. Green attacking the Raider secondary.
Well, if I'm doing the playmaking, if I'm writing up the play forms here, and I'm Hugh Jackson, I look at that secondary for Oakland, and they got some holes. It's very porous. And I think that A.J. Green should have a field day against Oakland. However, what they have done in the past, at least last year, they've sort of taken the game away from Andy Dalton, and they've used guys like Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill to run the football and have the run set up the pass. Be interesting to see what they do this week, and I do believe that Jeremy Hill is going to be the workhorse. He'll carry the ball 20, 25 times against Oakland, I'm sure of that, and he could run out of the backfield and catch the ball out of the backfield as well. He's a tough guy. He's a strong guy. He's going to be a star in this league. He really will.
What do the local press and especially the fans think of Andy Dalton now? Because his numbers are pretty solid in the regular season. And there's a lot of quarterbacks that struggle winning their first playoff game. Look at Tony Romo in Dallas and the heat that he's been under for so long. There's been quarterbacks before who have been scrutinized because they can't get going in the postseason. But I'm looking at his career numbers, especially in the regular season. This guy throws more touchdowns and interceptions. He has a decent quarterback rating. Do you believe, Andy, that this is a make-or-break year for him, or is he just starting to mature and entering the prime of his career and could have another great 7, 8, 9 years?
I got to believe this is a make-or-break year, and I got to also believe that they got a guy breathing down his neck in A.J. McCarron. A.J. McCarron, who was out the entire year last year with that shoulder problem, he looked pretty good in preseason. Now, there were some rumblings, but the fans, you know the way fans are, they were saying, you know, bench Andy Dalton and put in A.J. McCarron, but that's not going to happen unless Andy Dalton goes down. But he's got some competition now, which he had not had in the past, but he's got to step up. You're right. During the regular season, he's been tremendous. He really has been with the weapons that he has. He's won 40 games, as mentioned, in 4 years, which is a tremendous situation for the Cincinnati Bengals from where they were to where they are right now. But when it comes to the big game, when it comes to the big stage, whatever it may be, national TV, a game at night, whatever it may be, he falters. I don't know what it is. Is it pressure? Is it nerves? I don't know, but we got to see what he could do this year. And I got to believe that this game Sunday in Oakland, it's a tremendous test for the Cincinnati Bengals. It could set them on their way one way or the other. And look, they've been 0-10 in Oakland. Their record against Oakland there is 0-10. They got to win this game. If you ask me who's going to win the game, I would think Cincinnati, because I think to a man, they got better players. But can they get it done in Oakland this Sunday?
Andy Furman joins us on the official Raider podcast as we're breaking down the Bengals. That's an unbelievable stat because these two teams, AFC teams, have been rivals on and off for a long time. But that record in Oakland is amazing. And you know Oakland struggles every time they head east, and they're trying to win a road game this year. I want to start with Cincinnati's defense up front with Geno Atkins. How big of a beast is he? Because you know the Raiders upgraded their offensive line, and other than the injury they had in the preseason to Menelik Watson, they feel that this is probably the best offensive line they've had since they made their run with Rich Gannon to the Super Bowl. But I'm looking at the front seven, Andy, of that Bengals depth chart, and they are nasty and mean, and the linebackers are very athletic, but it starts up front with those front four, right?
Well, it certainly does, and the Bengals only had 20 sacks the entire year last year, but you got guys like Carlos Dunlap, Domantas Peko, Geno Atkins, and now Michael Johnson coming back from Tampa Bay where he was released a year ago, but he was here in Cincinnati 2 years ago. They got a pretty mean front four up front if they could get the job done. And I think with that offensive line in Oakland, they're going to have Carr on his rear end a couple of times on Sunday.
What are the perceptions of the Raiders with this new team? Raiders are a team that's been struggling now for a decade, but clearly they're going in a different direction. It's the Carr era with Amari Cooper. You could see a new wide receiver who could set this league on fire. They brought in Crabtree. Latavius Murray is their running back. They're going to give him a heavy workload, obviously, now that McFadden's gone. Do you believe the Cincinnati Bengals organization looks at the Raiders and says, this is an improved football team. We better bring our A game on the road?
Well, there's no doubt. As a matter of fact, they're leaving early. They normally leave Saturday, the day before a game. They're leaving on Friday to get accustomed to the time change because over the years, the Bengals have never fared well going to the West Coast, for whatever the reason, time factor or whatever. So they're leaving on Friday this year rather than going on Saturday. But to me, from the outsider looking in, and you know a lot better than I do because you're there and you follow the Raiders better than I do, they got Jack Del Rio, who's really sort of trying to change the image of this team. But to me, looking at it from a distance, I think it's like putting earrings on a pig. I still think they got a lot of growing to do. Look, he's their eighth coach since 2002 when they lost the Super Bowl. They got a new offensive coordinator. They got a new defensive coordinator. I like Ken Norton Jr. a lot, controlling the defense. But Derek Carr, what is this guy, sacked by 20, 24 times last year? I do like their receivers, Amari Cooper. I want to see what he's going to do, and I think the matchup with Amari Cooper and Dre Kirkpatrick is going to be a pretty good one on Sunday.
Wrapping it up with Andy Furman. He's breaking down the Bengals for us on the official Raider podcast. Looking at the Bengals' schedule, out of the gate at Oakland, then San Diego at home before the big rivalry game at Baltimore, then Kansas City, Seattle. That is not an easy schedule. Andy, I understand. I can hear it in your voice how important this game is at Oakland. Because after that, you're facing teams that are legit, including the AFC, NFC champs in Seattle. Kansas City's improved. Baltimore is what it is, a rival. And Phillip Rivers is locked up long term. If the Bengals can win this game, that's momentum. A loss at Oakland would almost feel devastating, like they're outside the playoffs. It'll have the feel that they're outside the playoffs looking in right out of the gate.
No doubt. I mean, it's got to be a confidence builder. They got to win. They got to win big. It can't be a one-point win. They got to win by 2-3 touchdowns. Now, they lose that game against Oakland. They may not see another win until the 18th of October at Buffalo. And that's not going to be an easy road either. But I tell you, San Diego, they got division games with Baltimore. They got Kansas City, Seattle. I mean, this could be devastating. I'm not saying Marvin Lewis will be gone because they don't really fire coaches in midstream. But it could be a hell of a season going down the wrong pike if, in fact, they lose Sunday. I think it's a tremendous game for them, a big, big game for them. And Hugh Jackson, look, he's got to get it done. He's got to get that game plan in order.
You know, it's amazing to me. The Raiders have a tougher schedule than the Bengals, and the Bengals went to the playoffs, and the Raiders are looking to turn it around. I'll tell you, the message from the Raider Nation back to Cincinnati is a lot of respect for the culture of this team under Marvin Lewis and getting to the playoffs, but it just feels like it, Andy. I wanted to kick it off with you to start off this podcast because you're a fan and you're a guy who connects and interacts with fans in Cincinnati. And for these fans in Cincinnati, are they all in or is it the same old story? If the team goes south early, will the fans turn in the media? Or if they get off to a good start, it's such a rabid fan base, they'll get behind Marvin Lewis again.
Right now, the fans, JT, I would say, are cautiously optimistic. Because they have the doubt in Andy Dalton. They don't think Andy Dalton is the guy. And I keep on saying, are we going to get the good Andy or the bad Andy this week? That's the problem. And honestly, I think a lot of players in that locker room, to the Cincinnati Bengals, to a man, they don't know on any given day what's going to happen. Again, he's got some tremendous receivers on the team. A.J. Green, Mohamed Sanu, Marvin Jones, the running backs of Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill. They got the guys. They got the guys that can get it done. Will he get it done? Can he lead this team? You're number five. It's time for him to take control and be a leader and lead this football team.
Andy, finally, put a bow on it. Give me the final score in your opinion. I think about 3 or 4 minutes ago, I heard you say 2 or 3 touchdowns. This is a Ken Stabler tribute game. It's the home opener in Oakland. It's a proud franchise with a new era coaching staff, and they're coming to get you. They're fired up. Andy Furman, give me the final score of Cincinnati at Oakland.
I would tell you right now, the score will be Cincinnati 27, Oakland 10.
Oh, Andy, I'll talk to you, and I'm not even going to put your if you got the balls to put your Twitter address up there, I'll put it here in the podcast. So after the game, the Raider Nation can get in touch with you.
Here we go at Andy Furman FSR.
My brother, good to talk to you. Enjoy the game, and we'll do it again next year.
Thank you, JT. Always a pleasure.
So thanks again to Andy Furman for joining us. He was pretty fired up. And he doesn't even expect a close game. Believe me, you could all get back to him in person after this one, Raider Nation. Joining us to break down the Raiders, Scott Baer, insider from Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. He's always around this team. I see him in the locker room. I see him on the road. I see him up at Napa. Scott, we appreciate you joining us to kick off the Raiders season. And Scott, as we begin, I want to jump right in with the amount of work you put in covering this team. It really seems like it's a passion. I see you all the time on television, but you travel with the team. You know the coaching staff. You know this fan base. It seems like you're living a dream.
Yeah, it's been a pretty wild ride the last 3 years. And honestly, if Jack Del Rio sneezes, I'm probably taking notes on how everything went for him. So it is an all-intensive 12-month-a-year, 24-hour-a-day job. But, I mean, I get to watch football for a living. It doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, we appreciate what we get to do. Let's do some big-picture stuff first before we break down the team. Overall, the perception of the Raiders from last year, Dennis Allen, Tony Sparano, the offseason to the coaching change and what you saw up in Napa, is this a vastly improved team or a team that's going to take a couple of more years to turn the corner?
I think that it's vastly improved, and I think it may take at least one more year to really get into that playoff contention mode. But Raiders fans have been very excited, and there's been a lot of positivity about what's gone on and the increased talent level and the consistently good draft classes that general manager Reggie McKenzie has put forth here. And I think that all that is leading towards something. Are they going to jump from worst to first like we've seen some other teams do? I think that's a lot to ask for a team that's won 11 games in the last 3 seasons. But I think these guys are going to compete. I think they're going to be disciplined. I think that they will be able to beat favorites. And really, if they can win games on the road, I think pushing for 500 is a realistic possibility.
Scott, I want to ask you also about this team in the division, because I think that's a big picture question also. Peyton Manning's back for another year. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs got good players on both sides of the ball. Phillip Rivers is locked up long term. And if you look at that, I mean, the Raiders counting this year are going to play Phillip Rivers 10 more times in the next 5 seasons. And I don't think Rivers is going to roll over in those games. So is the division still the elephant in the room? The Raiders got to win in the division before they can look outside and look to dominate the league.
Yeah, and that's something that's been very difficult for them over the last couple of seasons. But I really see that this AFC West, number one, it's very good. Number two, I see it tightening up across the board, that there's now talent in every city in the AFC West. That includes Oakland, and maybe Oakland's not at Denver's level yet. But I also see that Denver may be kind of angling down a little bit as Peyton Manning gets older and his arm strength becomes more of a question mark. And I see the Oakland Raiders kind of teetering up, and I see the San Diego Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs kind of sitting there in the middle. And if you look at superstars throughout the course of this division, I mean, between Rivers, you said Justin Houston, the pass rusher out of Kansas City, Peyton Manning and Demaryius Thomas, and we can go on and on and on. Each one of these teams has somebody special, and I look to Khalil Mack as the Raiders' equivalent of those superstars. Do they have room to grow? Yes. But I do think you are absolutely right, and it's something that Jack Del Rio has preached every time he's been in front of a microphone. You have to win in the division to give yourself a puncher's chance. You go back and look at when the San Diego Chargers were really hot back in 2008, 9, 10. They were going 6-0 in the AFC West. Same thing can be said for the Denver Broncos the last couple years. They have to win, and it's going to be physical battles, and that secondary with so many strong arms in this division is going to be tested.
Scott Baer is our guest on the Official Raider Podcast. All right, let's get to Derek Carr, who's a captain on this team. When you look at his ability to take a team to the next level, and a lot of fans are all in, but there are critics of Carr that says this is going to be a process where I don't expect him to take a step back in his sophomore year, but he was thrown in. I love the fact that he played injured last year coming off the London game. He was gritty. He was tough. Made a couple of mistakes in the preseason, but talk about his maturation. What do you expect out of Derek Carr this year?
I expect somebody to really play smart, consistent football, and that includes on the road where he definitely struggled last season at pretty much every turn. And I think last year, nobody really expected for him to be quite what he was. I mean, he was the last of the top-tier quarterbacks taken, and all of a sudden he starts 16 games. And I think everybody kind of excused some of his mistakes last year because he's a rookie, because he didn't have any skill players, because the Oakland Raiders weren't in games as often as probably Derek Carr and those coaches would have liked. I think those excuses have been stripped away. In terms of his preseason, Derek Carr, he's in a much different place right now. He's the unquestioned starter, and he used this preseason to tinker and to work and to experiment. So, yeah, there were zero touchdown passes and two interceptions. And, yeah, some people say he's got happy feet in the pocket, but I see a more calm, a more composed player, and more importantly, a guy who trusts his receivers and trusts his reads. I think there were too many checkdowns last year. I think now with Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree on the outside, he can finally use the arm strength that he absolutely has to go downfield. It's about trusting what's upstairs, trusting those guys outside, and making plays downfield. That's going to be the key for him, and I think this Raiders offense is going to be vastly improved even early on.
Let's stay on the offensive side with Latavius Murray running behind this offensive line. It was devastating news the way Menelik Watson went down. The Raiders seem to have a little bit of depth up front on that offensive line. It's improved with Hudson at the center position. We saw Latavius last year in the game against Kansas City in the rain have a breakout national game, and now fantasy owners want a piece of him. People think he is the next back in the Raiders system that can step in now that McFadden's gone. We know McFadden was often injured. Can he be the workhorse back? Do you expect 16 games out of him? Does he cherish this opportunity to be a workhorse and be productive in the red zone?
JT, I think you absolutely hit it on the head right there with your question that can he be healthy for 16 games? And I think that's going to be the question mark hanging over the Oakland Raiders every time they step onto the field on Sundays, because he's got to. I think what we saw in the preseason is they don't have a dynamic second option to be a running back on that first and second down when you know that you're going to run the football. I think his size, speed, and power is unquestioned. Latavius Murray has this beautiful ability to be 6'3", 230, and still slash his way through and still hit a home run like he did last year against Kansas City, but he's never made it through a year uninjured, at least as a pro. And even if you go back to his college days, he never had more than 225 touches, and he could see that kind of a workload, probably more if everything goes right. So can he stay healthy? If he can stay healthy, this Raiders offense can be dynamic, because you talked about that offensive line depth. I think they have wide receiver depth. I don't think they have a lot of running back depth, and Murray's done a good job thus far preparing himself to take that kind of beating. Can he hold up? That's going to be so key throughout the course of this season.
All right, you can follow Scott Baer on Twitter at BaerCSN. He does a great job covering the silver and black as we go to the defensive side. And Scott, upgrades were made on the defensive line. I saw you on Twitter tell us that Justin Tuck is one of the defensive captains. Can Tuck go back in time and have a big year, what was his off season like? Did he lose weight? Did he get in shape? Is he in better shape? I think the Raiders are counting on him as Mac is going to be chipped and double teamed a lot. That should free up Tuck. Does he got anything left or a lot left in the tank? How do you see it?
He's really in a 12-round bout with Father Time right now, and he's given it everything he has. Most of his offseason was either spent in the New York area or out here in San Francisco training his tail off, sometimes twice per day, leading up to a training camp, trying to preserve as much of his physical skills as he can, like as he possibly can. I think he understands where Khalil Mack is and the opportunity that will be afforded for him on the other side of the defensive line in a defense that is going to count more often than most on strictly a four-man pass rush, which means Justin Tuck has to show up, and double-digit sacks would be, I mean, that would be like Ken Norton won the lottery, let's be honest. And I think that he feels like he's capable of doing that. He missed a large chunk of the preseason with a calf injury, but he's going to be back to 100%. And frankly, I don't think him missing preseason time is that big of a deal. And him staying away from practice, you need as much energy conserved for when games actually count. He's confident in it. But the one thing that I like about Justin Tuck and why he's a captain is because he's very pragmatic. Just yesterday he said, you know what, I can say that this is going to be a better defense. I can say that we're going to be dominant and tough to deal with, but I'm not going to do that because we have to earn our accolades, that we have to go out and prove it on Sundays, because even somebody like me who has had a double-digit sacks and has two Super Bowl rings, I haven't proved anything in 2015. And I think that's a good message that young players who don't know how to win, who are trying to find their way, I think that they need to absorb that, not get caught up in all this positive hype that's come with Jack Del Rio coming into town. I think that's a good pragmatic approach to this season. And I think if Justin Tuck goes, that front seven will absolutely take huge steps forward with him.
Scott Baer's our guest. Talk about the linebackers, clearly an upgrade in free agency. I wasn't surprised by the C.O. Moore move, being around the organization with Jack Del Rio and Ken Norton Jr. and the attitude and could he play, but he was a guy who was a tackling machine and liked to go with a fast motor sideline to sideline. Could that hurt the Raiders initially against the running games of both Baltimore and in week one, Cincinnati? Talk about the linebackers.
You know, I would say that being without C.O. Moore would have been troubling in 2014 and an absolute backbreaker in 2013 when he was a rookie, because this team didn't have much talent. And I think the attitude doesn't go very far if you have a guy right behind you playing well. And let's be honest, C.O. Moore was upset with the fact that when he got back from injury, which took him a little bit longer than some people would have liked, that he wasn't just anointed the will linebacker starter automatically. And that's because Malcolm Smith has been pretty good from day one. I actually just spoke to him on Wednesday afternoon, and Malcolm Smith is confident. He has that quiet air about him that he knows what he's doing. He knows Ken Norton Jr.'s scheme and how well he fits into it in terms of being a cover linebacker, where those linebackers are going to have to be fast and buzz around the middle of that field to make it work. So I think between Malcolm Smith and Ray Armstrong in coverage, and then Curtis Lofton stepping in there in the base defense and trying to be that kind of tackling machine in the middle against the run, I think this linebacker core, it's different, and there are some question marks. I don't totally trust Ray Armstrong quite yet. But I do think that this Raiders team is confident in what those linebackers can do, especially considering what they're being asked to do. I think they believe they have good athletic fits for this team.
Scott, finally, with Nate Allen and Charles Woodson on the back end of that defense, I think fans and insiders understand their ability and big play ability, but clearly the elephant in the room are the cornerbacks for the Raiders. Are they ready to compete? There doesn't seem to be a lot of depth there. Do you expect Reggie McKenzie to still go hunting for more depth at that position? What happens here in the secondary with those cornerbacks? Can they step up and play at a high level?
They're going to have to. It's to the point where they're going to get pushed over that cliff and they're that baby bird, and they're either going to fly or they're going to fall into the canyon at this point, because there is no safety net. There's nothing there to protect the Raiders in case DJ Hayden and TJ Carey, who's a little bit less suspect, as a matter of fact, I think he's been pretty solid, but if those guys don't do well, and let's not forget that between Hayden and Carey and Keith McGill, all those guys have a recent injury history. So not only do they have to perform, but they have to stay healthy, and that's two big ifs, two big question marks. And Jack Del Rio was actually asked on Wednesday afternoon, did you pursue anybody else after those final cuts? And Jack Del Rio said what he said the entire time, is that we're going to go with the guys that we brought, the guys that we've developed, and they have confidence in them. And really, they don't have any choice at this point, because these games count just as much as they will in November and December. And I think that when you imagine Hayden and Carey trying to deal with guys like A.J. Green, who they're going to have to deal with on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals, that may keep some Raider fans up at night. It may worry secondary coaches like Marcus Robertson and Rod Woodson. How can they handle it? They're going to have to show up. Now, D.J. Hayden is confident. T.J. Carey believes that he can get it done. And somehow, some way, they're going to have to find some kind of magic here and make some plays on the outside, or this defense is really going to suffer no matter how well they do up front.
Scott, final thoughts. The key with coaching, we started with coaching. I want to end with it. I'm all in on Ken Norton Jr. I think he's going to be a head coach in this league sooner than later. Look at all the coaches that have had opportunities before him, and he comes in with the Pete Carroll pedigree, coming in, working now with Jack Del Rio. I love that connection with Jack Del Rio, Ken Norton Jr. I like what Mike Tice can do with the offensive line along with Musgrave. You mentioned Rod Woodson and some of the special coaches that they have throughout that organization. But they cannot get jumped in these first two games. These are home games, the first two home games since 1969, back-to-back, in front of a passionate and rabid Raider Nation. It feels like a must-win right out of the gate, because Cincinnati flat-out just can't win historically in Oakland. And you look at this team with Marvin Lewis and Hugh Jackson, this is a game that the Raiders had circled no matter where it was on the schedule. They get the Bengals for the season opener, a tribute to Ken Stabler, a lot on the line for this one.
Yeah, and when I'm marking down wins and losses, I put this as a W. I honestly
Absolutely.
Do, and I'm not just saying that because this is the official Raiders podcast. I think that Bill Musgrave has some things up his sleeve for this first game. The first game is always an interesting feeling out process. But to your greater point, JT, I think so much has been said, and so much positive has been said, so much rhetoric from Jack Del Rio and Ken Norton about how things are changing and how much the players have bought in, and how much that all of these, that the playing career of all these coaches has really helped them connect to the players on the field right now. And all that works unless you go 0-4, right? All that works unless you struggle out of the gate. I think that's why it's so important in terms of Jack Del Rio's message, staying at maximum volume, to come out and see results quickly. Because all that stuff goes out the window if you can't help these players earn bigger contracts, more victories, and greater glory. In terms of like of a fan base, they've been so desperate for something positive. I'm not lying to you here. I love this fan base because they care so much and they're loyal. Even when things don't go right, they may be upset, but that only means that they care. And I think that they finally have this swell of optimism. It's right there for them, and it needs to be rewarded over the course of the first 2 weeks at home. If not, I think they might go, oh, is this another 2012? Have we been sold more a greater bill of goods? I think that's why these two games are so key. Give this fan base something positive. Give this 53-man roster something positive to build on throughout the course of the season so they can maximize talent, because that's something that hasn't happened in recent years.
Thank you for doing this, Scott. Follow Scott on Twitter at BearCSN. And Scott, we'll catch up with you throughout the course of the year. Thanks for coming on. I'll see you Sunday in Oakland.
Appreciate it, JT. Love it, man. Talk to you soon.
So thanks again to Scott, and before that, Andy Furman. And Raider Nation, thank you for listening to the first official Raider podcast of 2015. Stay at Raiders.com for all your in-depth, exclusive Raider coverage. Remember, you can tweet me, at JT the Brick. You can follow the Raiders on Twitter and on the Raiders Facebook page. Tell your buddies and your friends about this, and I'll see you at the next Raider game against the Baltimore Ravens. Raider Nation, unite! A really big game to kick off the season. Hey, and look in the sky, the tribute to Ken Stabler. We love you, Snake. We'll see you back next week for the breakdown of the Ravens right here at Raiders.com.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.